Well, January 4th is a great feast day, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. She is the closest saint buried to Leesburg, so she's only 1 hour away. When you go to Rome, almost any parish you walk into, there's a saint underneath the high altar, right? But we don't have that in America. Over in Europe, most parishes, many of them have saints. We don't have too many in America, but Mother Seton is only 1 hour away. Now, she is very unique. She is the first native-born American saint. And she also founded the first American religious order for women in the United States. She established the first parish school and the first Catholic orphanage in America. She was beatified back in 1963, canonized in 1975. Let's take a look at her life for a few moments. It is very interesting, very fascinating life. A life filled with many joys as well as many sorrows and hardships. She was born in 1774, just 2 years before the American War for Independence. Born into a very wealthy Episcopalian family in New York City. Her father was a famous doctor in what is now Columbia University Hospital. She grew up in a very privileged family, very well educated. Her mother, though, died when Elizabeth was only 3 years old, so she had very few recollections of her own mother. Later on, she would take the Blessed Mother as her mother, of course. She married a very wealthy businessman named William McGee Seton. She was only 19 years old when she got married. They were blessed with 5 children in the next 10 years, a very good, happy marriage. But then he contracted tuberculosis, and his business began to deteriorate. And so they were struggling financially. He was struggling physically. They took a trip over to Italy to try to give him a different climate so he could perhaps get better. But he died while they were in Italy. But it was there in Italy that St. Elizabeth Ann Seton got exposed to the Catholic faith. She stayed with her friends, the Felice family, very loving, compassionate, devout Catholic family. They attended daily Mass. She would attend Mass with them, and she yearned to receive the Eucharist. She, at this time, was now beginning to realize that the Catholic Church had the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, body, blood, soul, and divinity. So she had this great desire to receive the Lord. She then was introduced to our Blessed Mother, began to have a relationship with Our Lady. And then she also, by studying history, realized that the Catholic Church was founded by Christ 2,000 years ago. She began to question her own Episcopalian roots, realizing Henry VIII had been married and was divorced and remarried, and how the Episcopalian Church began in the 1500s. So she began to, her foundation began to crumble in her Episcopalian faith. She then realized that Christ founded the Catholic Church upon Peter and the Apostles. So by the time she went back to New York in 1805, she knew she had to become Catholic. In fact, even during this time, as she continued to try to take instructions and was still attending services at the Episcopal Church, she would always sit by the window so she could look out the window and talk to Jesus in the tabernacle in the Catholic Church next door. So she did take instructions. She was brought into the church, and it was really a major event because, she was a very well-known, wealthy, well-respected Episcopalian woman. She had done a lot for the poor, for charities. And when she became Catholic, she really lost most of her family and friends. They disowned her, and it was a very difficult time in her life because of the cross of the rejection by embracing the Catholic faith. She went up to Boston to start a school for her children and other children. That didn't prove too successful. There was a lot of hostility up there against her. And so she was invited by the Bishop of Baltimore to come and establish a school in Baltimore. So she established the first parish school in Baltimore. Pretty soon, other women began to join her, and a small community began to be formed, and they would be the Sisters of Charity. In 1808, they were given lots of land up in Emmitsburg, Maryland. A wealthy seminarian gave them land, and so she established her mother house, and they began calling her Mother Seton, since she was the mother of this small community. She would live another 13 years. During this time, she would teach school. She would work for the poor. She died at the age of 46, a young woman, and died in the year 1821. So during her life, she was a convert, a wife, a mother, a widow, a teacher, and a religious sister. So again, we are so blessed to have a saint buried 1 hour from here. So I hope that sometime you'll get up again to see her tomb and pray at her tomb. And when you look at her life, you see that she had tremendous courage to follow God's will, despite the sufferings and difficulties. Her major sufferings in life were becoming a widow at the age of 29, raising the 5 children by herself. 2 of her daughters died at quite young ages. She had a wayward son that she continued to pray for. He had drifted away from the faith and into immorality, and she never stopped praying for him. So it's a good example that even, saints can have children that go astray. But she always continued to pray for him, and perhaps he came back at the end. We're not sure, but it seems that he found peace and came back at the end of his life. But she dealt with the rejection of her family, spiritual dryness in her prayer life. So she had a lot of sufferings, despite the tremendous amount of work that she did for the Lord. She made the world certainly a better place with the convents she established, and now the Sisters of Charity are all over the United States and have run many schools and hospitals and orphanages over these last couple hundred years. So I'll give you a blessing now with the relic of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. With the intercession of Mother Seton, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.